Robbie Neiswanger joining me, Wally Hall, the illustrious columnist of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Bob Holt, who I am convinced should have his own reality show and is renowned for his questioning of coaches at press conferences. In fact, I understand that Coach Anderson was quite upset that you were not at the press conference, his last one in Fayetteville, before they came down here.
I've heard that. I can't speak to that because I wasn't there. Robbie was there. Maybe he could talk about it.
I can confirm it, yes. Okay. He was very disappointed, very upset.
Well, the press conference only lasted 45 minutes without Bob.
Yes, that's true. Hey, Bob, have you taken a road trip with Bob Holt, by the way?
No, but I've had dinner with him twice, and it's been glorious.
It's entertaining. It's always entertaining to be on the road with Bob.
Bob and I had a long talk about – Bob's a Missouri grad. I'm an Iowa State grad, and we talked about the back in the days of the Big Eight. So
those were the days.
Good times.
How did you guys travel with him for 32 years? Then get back to me on that.
Well, you know better than anybody that he should have a reality show then. So I want to talk to you guys about, obviously, the basketball tournament, but also about closed practices, Twitter accounts, tattoos. We'll get into all that. So, Wally, let me start with you. What's your overview on the tournament? What do you think Arkansas's best hopes are? What are your expectations tonight?
I think they have to win the tournament to get into the NCAA. But I'm of a different opinion of everybody else. I think the league may get four. I think that the four teams that win tomorrow are in. I think Kentucky and Florida are in.
As long as Arkansas is not one of the four that wins tomorrow, you're saying?
Well, if they can beat Florida, they still got to win out.
Yeah.
But I think the Alabama-Tennessee game tomorrow could be a play-in game, and I think Mizzou and Ole Miss is a play-in game tomorrow.
Those
games come off. Yeah.
So you're not giving Missouri a pass. You're with me.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they got to win tomorrow, today and tomorrow.
I think so, too. I think today would be a devastating loss for Missouri, even though a lot of people are of the opinion. Missouri grad, are you of the opinion they're already in?
I think they're already in based on their strength of schedule, but obviously, you know, they don't want to mess around, so it would help a lot if they won tonight.
Well, it's a game that I would hope that they would be embarrassed to lose. And honestly, I was a little surprised they lost to Tennessee, but they were playing a desperate Tennessee team, and that's why I'm worried about Arkansas tomorrow if they get by Vanderbilt tonight, because of the desperation level that Kentucky's got to be playing with.
Oh, it's tomorrow, it gets hard. If you're any team playing before yet tomorrow, it gets really hard playing back-to-back. How many times has it been done? Somebody swept twice? Georgia, Arkansas.
What, didn't somebody else do it too? I think somebody else might have done it.
Georgia actually won four games in 3 days,
which is
in reality with a hurricane and everything. Or not the hurricane, the tornado.
Yeah.
And I think back in the 80s, Auburn did it. Back before the league expanded, I think they won four games in 4 days.
A league before Arkansas came in it?
There was. Yes, there was.
I guess we can say this, though, about Arkansas. They probably have enough depth to be able to survive four games in 4 days if any team's going to do it. It's just a matter of can they shoot the ball well, can they stay out of foul trouble, and can they have success on the road.
Yeah, Arkansas has the depth to do it because they play a lot of guys and they've started a lot of guys. The problem is they can't take advantage of the depth if they don't win tonight.
Yeah, so I guess the deeper Arkansas goes, the better off they are. The question is, can they get past day one?
Exactly.
And the trick tonight is with Arkansas, it's always who's going to control tempo. If they don't control the tempo, they probably won't win.
Yeah, we talked about a couple of keys yesterday, and one of them was Marshawn Powell staying out of foul trouble, as we started calling him Marshawn Foul. And then the other thing is being aggressive and offensively and not settling for jump shots. Somebody's got to get a memo to them that they're not a good jump shooting team. They're second, they're next to last in the league in three-point shots, percentage-wise, or 30%. Something I would think that would get around the locker room that, hey, this is not a recipe for victories for us. But apparently it hasn't.
But, you know, with Mike's system, every guy has a green light if he's open. And that's how he's able to recruit the players that he's trying. You know, he is bringing in. Some of the guys that are missing right now, he inherited.
Okay. So that's the philosophy, I guess, as a T-shirt. Come to Arkansas where you get to shoot it even if you suck. I mean, that's part of the deal.
That's why they were really disappointed when Rodney transferred.
Yeah.
It would have been a huge part of their offense last year.
Yeah, and that's it would have been interesting to see. Of course, he's had plenty of success this year. So I guess it's okay for him. But what about football practice-wise? I mean, as reporters, I'm assuming you guys are all access all the time to the best of your ability, or at least that's what you prefer.
Yeah, I mean, it's upsetting to me the practices aren't open. I mean, it's funny, Bobby Petrino, who is known for being paranoid, I guess might be a good word for it.
Well, there's a lot of
words
for
secretive.
Him. Yeah.
And he had open practices in the spring and in fall camp, totally open to fans and media. So to me, it's kind of ironic that Brett Bielema seems to have a much – friendlier personality is starting off with close practices.
How's he dealt with your questions?
I haven't really talked to him a whole lot, but he's been fine.
Yeah. When you go to a press conference, do you have it all mapped out, or you sort of develop your questions as the press conference goes on?
I jot down a few questions on my notepad, but then obviously, depending on what somebody says, there's natural follow-ups that occur to you.
There was a lot made yesterday, and we haven't played anything from Coach Stallings yet. A lot made yesterday, and anybody can jump in on this, about the hometown advantage. And, you know, Vanderbilt certainly is doing a lot to try to defuse that. They did talk about how they're going to be a class today before the game. I don't know how true that is. It is Vanderbilt, though, so maybe it is true. And then, of course, you know, Arkansas struggles outside the state of Arkansas, which you asked, you know, both coaches about yesterday, and, of course, they're trying to play that off as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt doesn't want to admit they have an advantage, but how could they not have an advantage? I mean, if this tournament were in North Little Rock, I think everybody would agree Arkansas had an advantage, or even if it was in Memphis. It was just somewhere near Arkansas. So, yeah, I think without question Vanderbilt. And they played in this arena early in the year. Now, they did lose to Middle Tennessee, but at least they played here in the past. And, you know, Vanderbilt, I got to believe they'll have a few thousand fans here tonight. I mean, they draw 10 or 11,000 to their game, so why wouldn't they have 8 or 9,000 here tonight? You know there won't be that many Arkansas fans here.
Well, most people I've talked to, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, too, don't think there are going to be that many fans here. It doesn't make sense to me either. I'm like you. I would tend to think that Vanderbilt fans, it's like, gee, you know what? And if you want to keep the tournament coming back here, which apparently that's in the plans at this point, you want to get out and support the tournament, not only as a fan, but as a Nashville person.
I tell you what might be interesting. We know the team that will have the most fans tonight in Vanderbilt or Arkansas or Missouri, it's going to be Kentucky. I think they had the most fans last night. And so it'll be interesting to see who the Kentucky fans root for. Who do they want to play? Do they want to play Vanderbilt, who they swept in a couple pretty close games, or do they want another shot at Arkansas, beat them by 13 and made them look pretty bad in Fayetteville? It'll be interesting to see who the Kentucky fans are pulling for.
It's funny how Arkansas, you know, it struggles on the road. They get in this tournament, they got to play the hometown team in Vandy, and if they survive in advance, they got to play the hometown team in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to figure out a way to win in front of crowds that might not be cheering for them for the most part in both these games here.
Well, Kevin Stallings talked about that, and he said it really does feel like a road game, even when you're playing in Nashville against Kentucky with all the fans they'll have here. So,
you know, as far as tonight, I've never found Kentucky fans to really pull for anybody but Kentucky. They're going to sit there on their hands because they're really arrogant.
So, any thoughts on practices? Back to football for a minute.
I think this kind of cheats the fans a little bit. They're not getting any coverage of the first week of a new regime, and the fans want to know. They want to know what's going on, and that's what we do. We're the watchdog of the people, and we're not allowed to watch, so we can't be the dogs either.
It's almost like, you know, what football practice has it even started?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the sentiment that you get, just because you don't have any access to see any parts of practice or even just talk to anybody after the practice. I know he has been, Bielema has been available at a couple of speaking engagements around, you know, the area in Searcy and in Tulsa this week. But other than that, there's been no post-practice interviews with players or assistant coaches or anything this week. So it's been really, really quiet as far as football goes.
I think it was an odd policy. It took us all by surprise because, like, Bielema's agreed to host – be part of a Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame golf tournament in May.
Mm-hmm.
Be, you know, major fundraiser for the Hall of Fame. And he is buying into things in the state. And he is making appearances. And then you think he's going to be this warm, friendly, cuddly guy that's, you know, right out of the chute. And, no, nobody's going to see practice the first week. But I understand, too, he's evaluating. He don't want to say, oh, this guy had a really good practice, and then 3 days later, the guy's seventh on the depth chart.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll also note that he will talk to the media up there tomorrow and kind of sum up the first week. So there will be finally that first week assessment of what he's seen, what he thinks about some players probably, and really what he's expecting when they get back from spring break.
I'm going to make an attempt to pull up my Twitter account inside the Nashville Convention Center here, which has been a bit of an issue. I retweeted something from Coach Bielema, and those of you who have not followed Brett Bielema on Twitter, you missed out on some shots that he's taken at fans who have been negative towards him. And we've been over that a little bit before, but it's been sort of a recurring thing this week with other guys. Johnny Manziel, apparently, and I still don't know what the backstory is on why he got a fake Texas tattoo on. I don't know if anybody knows the reason why he did it other than to stir the pot. He got a fake Texas tattoo, and he took some heat over that. And then he made sure to let everybody know who follows him on Twitter. There's over 300,000 people who do so, that it's a fake tattoo. So we got some negative comments from people who said things like, I wonder if the Delta Bravo, who the tattoo is on, paraphrasing, is also fake. And he said, tell your mom what's up. So he has gone back at people. He also told the guy who criticized him, you know nothing about me, homie. Hop off. Well, Brett Bielema, and he's gotten a lot of crap from Wisconsin fans, and he says, we miss you in Wisconsin, coach. Crap, I forgot the word don't in between we and miss. And Brett says, try forget to follow me. So he's been known to go back at some folks here. I had a guy come at me the other day, and I wasn't offended as a Cubs fan. I was offended as a guy who tries to be semi-creative when I talk to people. And he took a shot at me about the Chicago Cubs, which I thought was kind of lame. I'll see if I can find it here. It was so pathetic.
It would be fun if you could get Manziel and Bielema to start tweeting each other.
That would be funny. That's probably against SEC rules. He says, what do Cubs fans and possums have in common? They both play dead at home and get killed on the road. So I was trying to think, what would I hit back at this guy with? I mean, that's so pathetically lame, and it's really been retread many times over. So I was thinking, do I even go back at this guy, or do I just sit back and feel sorry for him? Brett Bielema's policy has been to go back at people. You're on Twitter,
yeah,
kind of.
I tweet.
Out of the pressure and the sense of responsibility
only. I only tweet if I have something to say.
Okay.
Or I think I do.
Okay, well, yeah.
So I tweet during games.
Right.
That's when I tweet.
Okay, so how do you feel about his approach at this point and how he's handled some of this negativity on Twitter?
I think he should be as rude as he can to people in Wisconsin.
Anybody have a problem with my only thing is, do you really? Here's the thing. You can't win those fights. And I think it's amusing. I like the fact that he's standing up. I think at some point, though, you probably just start blowing those off, I'd like to think.
Yeah, and I think Tom talked to him in the office about it, too. But when we sat down with Bielema for our one-on-ones, that was one of the topics that I asked him about. And his response is pretty simple. You know, if you're passive, you're not going to win football games in the SEC. So he doesn't really seem to have a problem with, you know, going at some people, you know, that are and he stressed, you know, people that are spreading lies and things like that. He wants to correct that, and he's not gonna back down about it, and that just seems to be who he is, his persona, and he carries it into Twitter as well, I guess.
Several years ago I had to tell Basil, he got his feelings hurt over something. I said, man, go back to being a linebacker.
Yeah.
and Bielema was just, he's a nose guard.
Thanks a lot, so that's your fault. Now he's become man of action, and every little slight that he feels, he goes after people. So thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it.
Well, I felt like he needed some encouragement at the time.
I don't know. Well, I don't know that he ever did.
To encourage,
yes.
Justin.
Well, he's encouraged to berate people that sometimes need and sometimes don't. A few more Hawk fans in the house.
Yeah!
That's what I'm talking about. I've seen a lot of Razorback fans here today. I'm very impressed by that.
Really proud of that one.
Hey. Represent, Wally. Represent, my friend.
He's here.
We take all comers. If you got Razorback red on, you're all good. Whether you're tatted up and whether you're shy a tooth or two, not relevant to me. Come get you some. Ha-ha! I love it. We'll be back in a moment. Bob Holt, Wally Hall, Justin Akery, and Robbie Neiswanger all at the convention center here in Nashville. And we'll be heading to the arena here pretty soon. We are about 2 minutes from tip-off for game one today. LSU going to be on the court to start things off against Georgia.
I'm Hunter.